from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay, now, Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic covering your New York Jets. What's up, Zach?
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good, bro. I've been trying to, you know, bring you on as we kick off another NFL season. You're the man. I follow all your tweets. I've got post notifications on. I read your stuff on the app. I just think you got it, bro, especially covering the Jets.
Oh, thanks, bro.
I got to go right to practice, right? So I saw earlier Michael Clemens was out there throwing hands. I ask about that first because we saw with the Giants and the Lions, they got fined $200,000 for fighting in these joint practices. So did it get to the point that we could potentially see some fines here?
That's a good question, honestly. I didn't even think about that today, so you're bringing a good point to my attention. I wasn't watching the defense when that fight happened, so I didn't see specifics. I saw some descriptions of it. It sounded like there were some swings, but I don't think it escalated, like, necessarily in a huge way, but I don't know how strict they're taking. You know, the fight that I did see that was kind of interesting to me is we saw Terrace Marshall catch a touchdown over DJ Reed. Mm-hmm. As he's walking away, he tosses the ball at DJ Reed as he's on the ground. A bunch of guys start shoving each other. DJ Reed picks up the ball, runs to find Terrace Marshall, and throws the ball at him. So that was a little more unique. So I do wonder. I don't know. There's not as many videos of these fights online as the Giants one. I think the reporters happen to be watching when it happened, so I think there's more evidence of it all happening. So maybe that contributed to the fine. But I don't know. That's a good question. I'm curious to see how strict the NFL is going to take this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they had to make an example out of Malik Nabers, Kirby Joseph, because that went viral. But, I did see the stuff with Terrence Marshall, and it made me think about this Jets team and this Jets defense and how pissed off they got to be and how locked in they got to be and how confident they got to be now in this second year. What I was saying earlier in the show, talking about when we're going to talk about the Jets, I've been saying this. I'm like, well, I wasn't saying that. I'm not sure what that was. You all right, Zach?
Yeah, I'm biased street, so there's like some loud motorcycle.
Okay. As long as you're not getting into any type of car accident, like if
No, you're good.
As long as you're not driving, you're good. You're in a safe place. Okay, but with Aaron Rodgers going out in four plays, like last season, you like it was a complete wash right away. You never saw him, but now I think they learned from their mistakes last year. Obviously, right? Tyrod Taylor is the backup. Obviously, they used their first round pick on Olufashinu, who's been great from what I'm reading. They have a whole new offensive line. They've made it a priority now, right? I remember last year around this time, they were in a joint practice with the Buccaneers, and Aaron Rodgers was very spirited about the protection and talking about it. And then when we talked about it on The Fan and people talked about it online, they're like, oh, it's the preseason. They'll work it out. So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line first. What can you see the difference from last year to this year is with this unit and Aaron Rodgers now after a year of developing relationships with his teammates and establishing rapport in the building? I think everything happens for a reason and they're stronger because of what they went through last year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in terms of the offensive line, it was this time last year at the Panthers joint practice actually in Carolina where the offensive line was just absolutely getting destroyed. And then there was a scene on Hard Knocks where Robert Saleh is laying into them. And it was kind of like, I always say that joint practices often are foretelling for the season. But I think this offensive line is on paper, like a legitimately could be a really, really good offensive line. You know, I'm sure you've talked plenty about this group, but you know, Tyron Smith, Pashinu as the backup, John Simpson, Joe Tippmann, Elijah Vera Tucker, Morgan Moses, like that's a solid, solid five, a few Pro Bowl caliber players in there. And so if that group can stay healthy, which is a big if, like I do think that changes the tone. And I think you've seen that. You see the way they talk about this offensive line is just different. There's not as many excuses being made because there's not as many that need to get made. It's just getting these guys on the field together more often, which they still haven't that much because, you know, Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith are in and out of the lineup, ABT also. So if this group can stay healthy, then that'll change everything for this offense. You give Aaron Rodgers some time, open up some holes for those two running backs. This offense has the potential to be a lot better. They were a little sloppy today, I will say, up until the last drive, which was a 2-minute drill where Aaron Rodgers thrives. Like, the offense was a little bit sloppy, but generally it's been pretty good throughout camp.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyron Smith. Unfortunately, as a young lad, I saw the Dallas Cowboys win Super Bowls, and I said, yeah, I'm going to root for them. Well, he switches places with Carl Lawson, who now the Dallas Cowboys have signed. When I look at this, you know, this preseason for Tyron Smith, I kept telling folks he's not going to practice. When he was with Dallas, he didn't practice. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, he doesn't need to get all of these drills and practice reps, but he was a full go. And I did just watch one Jets drive, and he said everything has been great since he's been here. If they can keep him healthy, like, he can protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side. And then the other guys that you added, like, if it's all about health. Vera Tucker's been hurt almost every single year. If Simpson and Morgan Moeller, if these guys can stay healthy up front, they could have arguably the best offensive line in the division.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, to your Tyron point, like, Bosch has been way better than I thought he would be, especially because I think it took some adjusting at the beginning of, like, OTAs and stuff like that. He's been really, really good. They're getting some reps at right tackle. So even if they hypothetically lost, you know, Tyron or Morgan Moses, which would be bad, but I do feel a little bit better about, you know, they have a first-round pick waiting in the wings, and you never know how rookies are going to look when the games happen and stuff like that. But, yeah, you just feel way better about this group and the feeling that this team has if somebody like Tyron Smith, who, you know, by all accounts, watching him in practice when he's actually out there in team drills, like, he looks like the Tyron Smith of old. It's just a matter of getting him through the season, which, as you mentioned, like, the Cowboys did it by giving him rest days. I don't think he did a lot of teamwork during the season. They really just, like, spaced it out and let him rest and let him get his body right. And he's doing the work he has to do off the field to stay healthy and stay in shape. And so if you have that guy at left tackle, I really legitimately think the ceiling of this team is raised just by literally having, you know, an all-pro left tackle, which the New York Jets haven't had in a long, long time.
We're on the phone right now with my guy, Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. I've been going on and on about Braylon Allen, number zero. The kid is built like a Greek god. He's 20 years old. He literally is a kid in the NFL. Please share with us anything you've seen from him. Obviously, we all got to look in the Saturday game against the Commanders in the preseason. Preseason is whatever, but I just think it was such a smart move. And I've been vocal about how pissed off I am that Jerry Jones traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, and in the fourth round, you can get a guy like Braylon Allen.
Legitimately, I'd buy all stock in Braylon Allen. Like, I've been as impressed with him as anybody in terms of, like, just being surprised. Like, I think he's been one of the breakout stars of camp. You know, sometimes you have to remember that what happens in training camp doesn't always portend what's going to happen this season. But he's just been highly, highly impressive. I mean, you saw in the game, kind of, like, what he was able to do in that game gave me even more confidence that this kid is legit. Like, as you said, he's built kind of, not like the freak that Derrick Henry is, but he has that kind of size where he just looks bigger than everybody out there. He's faster than I expected. He brings more in terms of the passing game than I expected. And I think the biggest reason why you can believe he's going to be on the field as a rookie is he's pretty good in protection as a running back. And, you know, he's kind of what the Jets thought they were getting in Dalvin Cook last year, is what I've been saying. Like, a guy who can get those tough yards, who can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, and then can, you know, pick up some blitzes and spell Breece Hall when you need it. And so you have a guy on a rookie contract instead of, a guy that's aging and doesn't really have anything left. And I just am really, really high on Braylon Allen. And, you know, even just talking in terms of fantasy, like, if you're looking for a stash guy, I'd pick him at the end of the draft.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's going to spell Breece Hall. God forbid Breece Hall goes down like he did a couple years ago. Then it's his show. Now, let's talk about Breece. I was talking about earlier how Breece took a picture with Tiki Barber at training camp a couple days ago, and his arm was huge. Like, Tiki being a running back in his era versus Breece, like, Breece, like, dwarfed him. And Breece is coming back now a year removed from the ACL injury. He's coming in now where everybody's like, yeah, this guy's one of the best backs in the league. How has he looked, and how has he handled having two rookies in the running back room? How has he looked in camp so far?
Well, I mean, Breece is the veteran of the room, which is kind of hilarious if you think about it. And, you know, Braylon Allen's 20 years old. He's very young. But, yeah, you know, I think it's almost at the point now where you have this flashy new thing in Braylon Allen. And so I think we're kind of taking Breece Hall for granted a little bit, where I think, you know, he was voted as, like, the number two running back in the league by that ESPN. So, like, he's going to have a really big year. I think he's going to be a legit bell cow. I think he's going to get the ball a lot. Even if Braylon Allen spells him occasionally, I think you legitimately are going to see Breece Hall, if he can stay healthy, you know, be among the league leaders in touches, if not right behind Christian McCaffrey. So I think he's looked the part. He looks like he's fully healthy. His explosion is back. His strength is even better. And I just think he's ready to take off. Like, he's he's going to be the focal point of this offense, both in the passing game and in the running game.
Good. Can't wait to see it. Like, again, saying they're better for what happened last year. This is not Nathaniel Hackett's first year calling this offense. He's fully aware of what he has in Breece Hall. And now, in a second year with Alan Lazard, I keep hearing good things about Alan Lazard coming out of camp. I think that he's got something to prove, a chip on his shoulder. He didn't come here to play with Zach Wilson. He came here to play with Aaron Rodgers. What has Alan Lazard looked like in his second Jets camp?
You know, with Lazard, it's funny. You know, another one of the Jets supporters, Brian Costello, often makes jokes about, like, the summer of Lazard is back on, or the summer of Lazard is on pause, because it's kind of like day-to-day. One day, there'll be a few day stretches where Lazard's making plays, catching everything thrown to him. And then you have a day like today where a pass deflects off his hands and into a defender's hand. So I think you're still getting, like, the mix of the Lazard from last year and the Lazard with Rodgers. I think he's going to have to be a contributor this year, especially as Mike Williams gets eased back into things. You know, he's the top backup to Mike Williams. He's the guy the possession receiver, the guy who's going to help as a blocker. He's definitely looked better than he did last year. But I think he still has a lot to prove coming off of the season he had last year.
Yeah, and I know Mike Williams just got cleared, so we probably haven't seen too much of him. And we know what type of possession receiver he is, you know, jump ball guy, a outside receiver. But Garrett Wilson, watching one Jets drive, seeing him versus Emmanuel Forbes, Garrett Wilson is just a freak of nature. He's not a big guy, but he's just a technician. He's fast. He gets open, and he doesn't drop passes. What do you think we can expect from him and Aaron Rodgers this year?
You know, it's funny. I hear myself, and I'm sounding like this guy is just raving about every Jets player, and everybody always usually accuses me of being negative. But I think Garrett Wilson is. I think he's gonna. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, and that's always going to be the big if of this offense, I think we're going to talk about Garrett as a top five defensive receiver. Like he's just dominated every rep. He's a guy that, you know, today, like when Rodgers is having bad moments today, where he's, you know, the Lazard play. He's throwing it behind Malachi Corley. He's throwing it behind this person. Every time he's targeting Garrett Wilson, it's either a catch or it's going to be a catch or it's a DPI. You know, Garrett, I think it was the Washington Commanders joint practice where he tells the receivers coach, let me loose. Give me the ball over and over and over again. I want the ball. And so he has the confidence. You know, he has the personality. He's faster. He's stronger. His route running's better. Like, I think him and Aaron Rodgers had a moment in the middle of camp where they were trying to figure out each other's chemistry again because, you know, Garrett, he's so talented and so athletic that he sometimes will improvise, you know, a route, or he'll see an availability to get open. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, the way he plays, like, he knows where everybody's going to be, and so he throws it to that space. So he, like, needs Garrett sometimes to be where he expects him. So I think they've been trying to find that balance. But I just think Garrett, you know, like, I couldn't be higher on him. I think he's, you know, arguably their most talented guy in this roster. Like, I think that's how good he is.
So they don't need to trade for Davante Adams. Here comes the segue. They did trade for Hassan Reddick, and what I've said is he hasn't stepped into the building. He's not with these guys. I'd trade him, but I know they're not going to do that. It's just an unfortunate thing because people can't wait to point at something and say, see, that's the Jets. This is typical Jets, but I just look at this as, like, this is Hassan Reddick. This is more on him. This is his decision to hold out, and if it's a staring contest, he's going to lose. The Jets have his rights. And the Jets don't have to pay him. The Jets don't have to acquiesce. They don't have to do anything. They can just wait this out. And I don't think Hassan Reddick is going to say, all right, well, I'm just going to stay home and not play, because he doesn't want to miss his game checks and he doesn't want to miss the opportunity to show he's worth the money he thinks he's worth.
You know, I honestly don't know how far he's going to willing to take it. From what I've heard, he is fully committed to, you know, holding out until they give him his money. I think he does not, based on, you know, I think both sides think they've either been lied to or there's been some miscommunication on, you know, the expectations for this contract situation. And so they're both kind of stuck in. And to your point, like, right now the Jets absolutely have the leverage. You know, he's getting fined every day. They feel confident in the guys they have. But the most interesting thing to me is going to be if and when he starts skipping games, you know, week one, week two happen. It's Will McDonald and Michael Clemens who are filling in for him. If they have really, really good games, then they can turn Hassan Reddick and be like, all right, we don't need you, so why are we going to pay you? Or it could go the opposite way. Like, they're not getting pass rush. The defense is struggling. And then Hassan Reddick will go to the Jets and be like, it looks like you need me. Maybe you pay me now. So I think the most fascinating thing is if he brings this into the regular season, which as of right now feels like is what's going to happen, like, I think those first few games and how the defense looks is going to be fascinating for this whole discussion, because I think that's going to maybe drive one side to cave a little bit. I don't think the Jets are going to cave and pay him like he wants to be paid, like $25 million a year or whatever. But maybe they, you know, add incentives, restructures, deal, whatever it is that they're refusing to do until he shows up, which he's not doing.
Yeah, and I think he's going to take a look at this team and all the talent and be like, actually, I want to be a part of that. You know, you mentioned Will McDonald and Michael Clemens. We all know about Jermaine Johnson. He's got one of the best sack celebrations, if not the best sack celebration in football. But there's a name flying under the radar a little bit, and I think he's going to have a big game going against his former team in week one. It's Javon Kinlaw. What have you seen from Javon Kinlaw as a new Jet on that defensive line this season?
I mean, I've seen him. Like, he's physically unlike maybe any defensive tackle I've ever covered. The guy's like 6'5". He just powers over everybody. He told us when we spoke to him at the podium a few weeks ago that he said his goal was to put on 35 pounds of muscle, and he claims he did that. I'm not sure I believe that part entirely, that he put on 35 pounds of muscle, but, you know, he looks good. Like, he's another guy that in his 49ers career, he was not able to stay healthy, and the last year he finally did. He started to see some of the flashes of the potential he had when they drafted in the first round. And, you know, Robert Saleh was there when he was drafted, as was Aaron Whitecotton, the defensive line coach. And so I think he has the talent to be like a really, really good guy next to Quinnen Williams. You know, they've shuffled through a lot of guys there. They've all been pretty solid. Sheldon Rankins, Quentin Jefferson were the last two. And I think Javon Kinlaw has the potential. He just has to stay healthy, keep his head on straight, all that stuff. And I think he could be a really, you know, solid contributor and rotational guy next to Quinnen.
Zach, you're the man. I took up 20 minutes of your time. I appreciate you. I'm going to let you go now.
I always love chatting with you, Keith. Thanks, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.